You're listening to Two Chunks in a Hunk. Movie musings for mostly everybody. Hello and welcome to Two Chunks in a Hunk. My name is Jordan Wonders, and this week I am your chunk.
I'm Doge, and I have never put on chunky hose before, but it sounds dangerous.
And I'm Carter, and oh, Your Majesty, in America, it doesn't always mean to be quiet. Here it could hunk, wow, gee whiz, golly wally.
Golly wally.
Oh, man.
Hey.
Carter, you on this podcast, you hunk golly wally.
Yeah, you
can do. Tell us what exactly is so golly wally about you.
I do hunk golly wally. And if this isn't a sign of the times that this makes me the hunk, I don't know what is, because life can kind of be boring when you don't do much.
Did you like put on jeans or something?
No, I have. It's actually more about potential. I just got a delivery notification that a hot sauce was on the way to my house. Here's the thing. I did a Hot Ones challenge this year, and I think I've already had been hunk for that. If you watch Hot Ones, it's great. It was pretty awful. I like spicy things. I like sauce. I'm down to make any meal spicy, mm-hmm. if applicable.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's just how I live my life. Yep. I'm a mix it up, spice it up kind of guy.
That might be the thing that we're all three most on the exact same page
about. I think so. I think it was like when I think the very first time that I joined you guys with a Two Chunks episode, we got a pizza.
We put jalapenos on it.
We put so many, and I was looking around like, wait, we all want jalapenos?
Yeah.
And then like, that's when we knew. But I was like looking through lists. I spent a lot of time trying to like find a good hot sauce, because one that I did find that was sold with the Hot Ones stuff was not something, it was too expensive. It was like $14 a bottle. And then with shipping, it was like $20, and it's only like 6 ounces. And I was like,
wow,
I can't live my life. But this was a sauce that I would have all the time. So I'm taking a risk. But what has shown up multiple times is like a number one on the best hot sauces out there is this hot sauce called Secret Aardvark. Have any of y'all had that?
No, I've never even heard of it.
No, I haven't.
It is.
That's
famous.
An amazing hot sauce name, though.
It's a great name.
It started in Canada. That's where it's produced, and it's even like on their website, it is a video of Kobe Smulders and Jimmy Fallon. Jimmy Fallon saying like wherever she's from, saying like, honestly, I don't know much about that outside of that's where Secret Aardvark hot sauce comes from. And everybody's
and
just talking
laughs.
About
then Jimmy laughs for like 45
seconds.
Then
he just laughs
seconds.
And claps his hands. And but it's a two, you can get a two pack of it on Amazon for $14.
Yeah, I'm in.
Two 8 ounce things of it. And I kept reading about it, and it's got a, they say it's somewhere between Caribbean and Tex-Mex.
What?
And it's just spicy enough.
That's exactly where I'd like to live.
It's just spicy enough and just sweet enough. A little Secret Aardvark sauce. So we're going to see how it goes.
Wow.
But it is timing itself. Here's what makes it even hunkier. The delivery is timing itself for me to be able to have it. That's it. Yep. Is timing itself for me to be able to have it. You know how Amazon gives you a window?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It says between 3:45 and 7:45. It's like, hello, dinner.
Yeah.
So I'm
hello,
about
dinner.
To have it for the first time.
What are you going to put it on?
I don't know yet. Possibly some homemade crunchy tacos. Chelsea and I make these crunchy tacos that are like a healthier version of what Jack in the Box gives you. And by healthier, I mean infinitely, unmeasurably healthier than the tacos from Jack in the Box.
Do you know what kind of meat Jack in the Box uses for their tacos?
What is it technically?
It's Secret Armadillo, which is interesting because you're going to put that sauce on there now.
Dude. Secret Aardvark. Did I say Armadillo earlier?
Maybe I said Armadillo.
Secret Aardvark has a Secret Aardvark Serrabanero green hot sauce. Serrano
dude,
and
they've
habanero.
Got a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
So I'm just we're just doing like the gateway sauce here first. Their normal
I'm
one.
Ordering
so maybe you'll get
right now.
Yeah, maybe the Chunkies will get updates on how Secret Aardvark is.
I'm not going to order now because I'm waiting to see if they're going to reach out to us and be like, thanks for all that free ad space. Do you hosts want some free hot sauce?
It is just strange enough to also to be in the Two Chunks inner circle. It's in there with Jesse Awuji.
Melissa Joan Hart.
Yep. Secret Aardvark sauce. But yeah, we're going to give that a try.
Dang.
So very, very exciting.
Well, my order of Secret Aardvark sauce will arrive
on
Monday. So.
Okay, well, fine. I'll get on Amazon too.
I don't know what to put it on, but I'm excited about it.
See, I've got some leftover pizza that I'm going to eat when we're done with this recording. And in my fridge, I've got some pineapple habanero sauce from Bravado Spice Company, which is quite good. And I was prepared to come bring that heat and give them some free ad space. But we've spent so much time talking about this really good aardvark sauce.
Hey, and also, have y'all had avocado salsa?
Yeah.
I've been putting that on stuff a lot recently. And Green Dragon from Trader Joe's. Anyway.
Green Dragon from Trader Joe's, the bottled Taco Bell sauce. Hang on. We can't move on because I still haven't ordered it yet.
Valentina hot sauce is really good.
A Valentina boy for a long time now.
Wait, yes. Hang on. Why don't I get the three? Drunken Jerk, Aardvark. Yeah, I'm not. There's a lot of options.
Yeah, there's too many options. Jordan and I have done the two pack of just their normal guy, their main guy.
Oh, and eight fluid ounces is $9.
Very cheap.
It's a two pack of very eight fluid ounces.
Cheap.
Done.
Yeah. Yes.
Amazing. And it was only 45 minutes of our episode dedicated to this hot sauce.
We've only spent most of this episode talking about the hot sauce diaries instead of the princess ones.
That's true. We are talking about a movie. It is the first of our 2-week Summer of Love, a royal romance series.
Is it appropriate to call it an extravaganza?
I would love to call it an extravaganza.
This is our 2-week Summer of Love extravaganza.
A royal romance. And the first movie of this series, of this extravaganza, is, of course, The Princess Diaries.
The Princess Diaries!
Okay.
Sorry.
I have a confession to make.
You forgot to watch it.
No, never. Never forgotten to watch this movie. I love this movie. And, I am completely thrilled that we finally have any sort of reason in any sort of stretch of the imagination to talk about it. And so, Doge, here's what I would like. This is a little different, but I'd like for you to give us a synopsis.
That's it. Yeah, I think I can do that.
Cool.
This week's synopsis is written by Lady N1.
In what?
Lady N1 sounds like she's the Duchess of the H1N1 swine flu.
Oh my gosh.
Lady N1 writes, Mia Thermopolis, Anne Hathaway, is the average teenager, sweet, a little geeky, and pretty much individual to everyone with the exception of her mother, best friend Lily, Heather Matarazzo, and Lily's older brother Michael, Robert Schwartzman. Making it through high school without throwing up is a challenge in itself for Mia, so it doesn't come as welcome news when her estranged grandmother, Queen Clarice Rinaldi, Dame Julie Andrews, shows up out of the blue and calmly informs her that she is in fact the heir to the throne of a European country called Genovia. Suddenly, Mia's life is thrown into complete overload. She's being taught about scarves, waves, and pears in order to become a perfect princess. She gets a makeover and a tough-looking yet sweet bodyguard and limo driver called Joe, Hector Elizondo. Things get out of hand when the media gets a hold of the story, and suddenly Mia is thrust into the spotlight of the newspapers and in school. On top of all that, Mia has a choice to make. She must decide by Genovia's Independence Day ball whether she longs to relinquish her claim on the throne or to become the princess and heir to the throne her father, Philippe Rinaldi, René Aubergenois, and grandmother want her to be.
Ooh, man, I love the runway to that pronunciation. Rob, it's like you were announcing him on Saturday Night Live.
I was revving him up a little bit. But yeah, that's the Princess Diary.
So, had y'all seen this before? You both had, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Ask me a real question.
Okay, good. I'm just checking. So did you guys watch this when you were like younger as well?
Yep.
Okay.
Dude, I can't believe it's almost 20 years old.
I know.
That's
2001.
Crazy. Dude, that's crazy.
Yes, I did watch it when I was younger.
We watched this a lot growing up. My sister especially was like obsessed with this movie. But
see, this was probably my second or third time to see it.
Okay.
Like, I watched it and liked it as a little bitty boy, But having no sisters, this was not one of the ones that got repeated. Like, this came out around the same time as Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man. Sure. And that was repeated the 10 in my house with me and my brother.
I'm not rather pawning than the Princess off Diaries. The love of this movie on my sister. I also equally loved it, I think. But
no, but yeah, I'm saying I think that's probably why it was more frequently repeated, because this is
right.
This is probably more appealing to a young girl than a young boy.
For the most part, yeah, I was a special lad, but you know, I think
sure, yeah.
You remember when we talked about Emperor's New Groove, how I said it was a road trip movie for us? We would watch it in the car and my parents would leave it the audio in the car so they could laugh along with us.
Yes.
This was another one like that. We would just like, this is a movie that gets quoted all the time in my house for just random things.
Chelsea tells me during the movie, after she sings the Genovia anthem with the Prime Minister, these are the two national anthems that I know their entirety, America and Genovia.
That's like, oh, yes. That's so good.
And isn't there something though about the experience, like someone you love or someone like to be able to watch them love something? Like,
yes.
I wonder if it changes our views, even on the scientific cinema scale, depending on who we watch the movie with.
I don't know. I think it totally does.
I don't know. So
I don't think we would have rated any of the Fast and Furious that we watched together as highly as we did if we'd watched them separately.
Sure, sure. That's a good point. Yeah,
that's fair.
But hey, nothing wrong with that.
I think there is also at least this movie feels like a time capsule. I don't know. There's something about like
it feels like a time capsule in the same way that like 10 Things I Hate About You is a time capsule.
Can I tell you what happened after like
would love that.
After watching this movie? No, actually a break in between, because dinner fell like right in the middle of our movie watching experience.
That's my favorite castle in Game of Thrones.
We go to make dinner together, and I ask our Google Home, I say, hey, Google, play Dido on Spotify.
Yeah. Yep.
And then I keep going and I say, ooh, hey, Google, play Alanis Morissette on Spotify. And then it ends, hey, Google, play No Doubt on Spotify. Yeah. And like, that is what we just, and I just stayed there. Like I just stayed in 2001 San Francisco and I loved
it. And it really does, like the something about the high school and the way that the bullying happens is very like the internet hadn't come out yet, so the special breed of bully hadn't evolved yet. I don't know. It's very like pom poms, cheerleaders, rhyming insults, and all this kind of thing. And of course, the biggest heartthrob of all time, Disney's very own Eric Brink-Breaker, Eric Von Detten.
I was so afraid he was going to be your super pump.
No, he's not.
No,
he's gross. He's honestly terrible in this movie.
Yes.
I just love
when
him.
He opens his locker and he's got a yacht magazine.
Dude, no.
They really wanted to make sure he was squirmy.
He put gel into his dry school hair. Well, it wasn't dry. It was full of other gel. And then just like walked around with gel hands.
That's crunchy.
That's nasty, man. That's a nasty, nasty boy. And I don't
like
it.
What if he's making like a cast of his fingers though? And at the end of the day, he's going to pull it off. He's going to use his fingerprint to access his secret lair.
Yeah. Most people have to get their own fingerprint. That's true. That's a good point. I didn't think about it like that.
He's very allergic to the sensor, so he can't touch it with his real skin.
I mean, I think we should dedicate the rest of the podcast.
Let's talk about that movie instead.
Let's talk about that movie.
Let's expand on this.
You know, that's the gritty origin story for Brink's home security.
Nice.
Ooh.
Doge.
Dead.
Doge left. He just quit right now. I don't even own a painter.
That's the best thing I'll ever say on this podcast.
Instead of dropping the mic, he dropped the responsibility of being a host.
He dropped his whole computer. but there is something about like the music, the fact that Mandy Moore is in this. I don't know. It's just,
I forgot Mandy Moore was in this. She's the worst person in the world in this movie.
I don't know. She's tied with Eric Von Detten, I think. But I love them both. Like, they do so well as terrible people. I mean, Eric Von Detten doesn't do anything, but
we got here. Mandy Moore's my super dump. You ready?
Yeah.
And it's a completely unfair super dump.
You watched it and you're like, this is not us. This wasn't us.
It's because she's not Regina George.
Ooh.
Yeah. I have seen this role played perfectly. And she feels like such an extra. Like, it is not enough. And it's completely unfair. Yeah. Like, did Mean Girls come out before? When did Mean Girls come out?
No, Mean Girls wasn't out yet.
So it's after, right? So Regina George hasn't even existed.
So what you're telling me
is... like the Seinfeld effect?
Mandy Moore is the blueprint, is what you're telling me.
Yeah. I think because she just didn't have any kind of substance to her character.
Yeah.
It doesn't really feel like anything outside of what Mia can control is the antagonist of this movie. Like, there's not, and we even get such like side pieces of like the couple that we meet at the very end at the ball. That's like, Genovia will be ours if this doesn't work out.
No, we meet them at dinner. We meet them at dinner.
Sure. But bing, even bing, then bing, it's bing, like, bing, it's bing, not,
we're there. That's my super dump, is that the conflict is all over the place. We don't have like a real good through line to carry us through this movie about like, what are the consequences if Mia fails? And what do we mean by failed? Is fail go back to being invisible at school? Is fail not become Princess of Genovia? Like, there's not really a cause and effect or a consequence to prevent that carries us through this movie.
Well, at the beginning, she is told that if she does not fulfill her duties to be the princess, then Genovia will cease to exist.
There is no more Genovia.
And then we find out, no, it'll exist. It's just going to be taken over by this baron and his wife. It's going to
be purchased by these Eastern European seeming,
by the way,
lovely folks.
Gives us one of the best lines of the whole movie, this couple. Baron and Baroness, may you always be Baron, is brilliant and very funny. Also, by the way, the Baroness, the woman, is the nun.
The nun from the scary movie. The nun.
From like The Conjuring and stuff, which is pretty wild. But
got lost in some image stills from that movie and had a time.
I've never seen it.
I haven't either. I'm very uncomfortable. I have no idea.
It looks awful.
Very easily.
it looks awful.
It doesn't even look scary. It just looks dumb. But she is that nun. So, but yeah,
that's her.
Doge, I think that's
the culmination of a segment we always have on our show called "Who Dat Nun."
Who Dat Nun? Yeah, it's her.
She's and then that insert nun. The song. You're still the nun I run to, the only nun I.
Okay, but I think
speaking of nuns, there are two nuns in this movie for a reason.
Funny,
so they can drop the
it's to
line.
Set up.
So that's they can say, Marshall, for the love of God.
No, yeah, that's a funny line. That's like Airplane. That's like I liked that. That felt like throwback humor in this.
There's some of that in here, right? Because Gary Marshall has directed a lot of
he's done several. He's a rom-com king.
Yeah. And I think you can see the fingerprints all over this of like
for
some
sure.
expertise. That's a great
the line. The fact that Mia is actually like works in the red light district, very pretty woman. Like it's like
snap the box closed. Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Oh man, big mistake. Huge. No, let's talk about Mia a little bit though.
Let's do it.
So something that obviously is a trope and just gets so played out is girl is invisible and quote unquote ugly, but is so clearly obviously not. You know what I mean? Like to us as the audience, it's so obvious.
You know, it's not the first time she's played this role either. Well, it is
the first time.
It is the first time she would do it again. Right.
Les Mis.
In Princess Diaries too.
Well, yeah, and Devil Wears Prada. Oh, that's funny. I made a red light joke and she actually has won an Oscar for playing a prostitute. So there you go. True.
But what I was going to say is I think obviously there's only so much you can do without going cartoonish to make somebody look different than what they actually look like. But
sure.
I think they actually succeed in making her just look like a young teenage girl who does not have any idea how to handle her frizzy hair. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, honestly, like this effect, the effect that we saw of Pablo coming in is what's going to happen to so many people once the pandemic lifts and we're back out in public
up.
And everyone is like making up
straight
again.
Up.
It's like that moment.
I desperately need someone to help me make the boy moose go wah.
So many chairs are going to turn around when COVID's done and we're going to be like, oh my gosh, you're gorgeous. You're a beautiful man.
Dude, so
you're a beautiful woman.
It has been a couple
what
years.
What is makeup?
It's been a couple years since I've watched this movie. I've watched it a ton. And as I was watching it, as time goes on, sensibilities change and things like that. I was so scared that I was going to watch this movie because for the first little bit, it really seems like she's going to simply find all of her worth in looking better. And I was so nervous that that's where this movie was going to go, is like, And even though I've seen it so many times, it was just like so many movies I used to love have been, I don't want to say ruined, but tainted by my sensibilities and the things that are important to me changing as I grow. And I was so nervous that I was going to get to the end of this and be like, oh, that's a rough message. But I actually think this movie really succeeds in making Mia kind of stand on the feet of kind of who she is and her own sensibilities moving into this. I mean, she changes, but I think she changes in what can be described as mostly positive ways after she goes through some murky patches.
Yeah. Our climax moment is she's not done up.
Correct.
She's giving the speech with her shoes on and wet. And
yeah. And I think that's, I don't know.
Eyebrows still plucked and the hair is different.
Well, but once you do that, there's no turning back.
No, there's no turning back. Yeah. Which evidently that was a process. It was an hour long process because they would individually plug those hairs in cosmetics for her before filming. So
that's funny. I think the best thing to talk about at this point is I'm trying to not just dive into my super pump, but I'm going to for sure.
What, her house?
No, her house is awesome though.
Her house is awesome.
I would rather live there than in a palace.
Yeah. Her house is up there with Arnold from Hey Arnold's room.
Yeah.
Yes, very much.
Yeah, that's valid. No, I want to talk about, so like we have Lily, we have Michael, we have Paolo, we have the couple that she sits next to at the dinner, that the guy that sings the Genovian National Anthem.
The Prime Minister.
Thank you. We have Mr.
And the Prime Ministress.
Mr. Robitussin, just all of
what
these
a bad
people.
Name.
And
funny character,
dude,
though.
My super pump for this movie, and I'm bringing it up now so that we have a little time to talk about it, is all of the side characters. This movie lives and dies on everybody that's not main cast. Like all of the funny moments are because somebody who is not Mia, her grandmother, her mom.
Yeah.
You know, like I would consider side characters start at Lily, and anybody below Lily in importance is sort of a side character, but we get all of the lines, like the wait up, not you, I don't even know you, like all that kind of stuff from Lily running after Mia. We get the ice cream scene, which like all the stuff at dinner that goes wrong that is so funny.
Are you putting Joe in there too?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think I would put Joe there. Yeah. Joe's great. Paolo is so funny, dude. His entire makeover scene, I'm literally laughing out loud. Boy Moose Go Wah, Bushman Eyebrows, naming her eyebrows.
Boy Moose Go Wah is from Princess Diaries 2. I was waiting for that line in this movie.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That is not in this movie.
And naming her eyebrows Frida and Kahlo.
That's very good.
I don't know. It's just very funny.
That's interesting because my sense as I was watching it is that all of the side characters who are not American are incredibly underbaked. And like,
oh,
and even some of the ones that are, like, I think the neighbor, Mr. Robitussin, let's lean into that a little bit more. Like, let's get some more of him. And then maybe we can have less of the Baron and his mean wife who are mean because they're mean.
Totally.
And
like, it's scattershot for sure. And it's quantity over quality, but there is so much quantity that it works for me.
Yeah. And I think your super pump is basically one of the main ingredients of a good rom-com. Like we have to remember like what this series is.
Totally.
Yeah.
This is not, you know, you're very rarely, unless it's a movie that Jordan really hated in the Summer of Love series, very rarely going to have an Oscar nominated movie in this vein. So,
do you think, I'm glad you brought that up, that there's two real,
and that's not rom-com actually. Pride and Prejudice is a romance. It's not really,
I think
a rom-com.
It's hilarious, dude.
Okay, so there's three romances in this movie, I would say. Four. Mia's mom and her teacher, grandma,
which
and Joe.
Is at the bottom of the list.
Okay, let me just say something about Joe. Joe looks like if Billy Joel was in The Matrix.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair. Okay, that's fair. I like that. So we have grandma and Billy Neo. I'm sorry. I'm having a hard time.
I love both of those things very much.
Do you think they tried to get Billy Joel first?
I'm so glad they're married now. Oh my gosh, he does.
There is Mia and Brink, and there is Mia and the lead singer of Rooney, Michael, Lily's brother.
Yeah.
I would argue that the biggest romance in this movie is Mia learning to love herself.
Mm, you pulled a tricky one on
I'm
us.
I'm a trickster.
That's a figurative way to look at it.
But as I watched it, I was like, there's a lot of romance, similar thing, quantity over quality for the romances. There's a lot of different romances happening. But I think as I watched it, it just felt like it was a movie about Mia realizing that, like, she kind of had certain things in her the whole time, you know? It's kind of a coming of age type thing as well. And what is...
Yeah, would you say this is more similar to 10 Things I Hate About You or Mean Girls? Because those are the two directions I think this story could pull.
Totally. I think tonally it's 10 Things I Hate About You, but I think content-wise it's kind of Mean Girls. I mean, obviously way less extreme, but just the idea of... Here's what I secretly thought I wanted. Here's what I actually am. Here's how they collide. Yeah, I think the tone is way more 10 Things I Hate About You, but I think the direction.
Then I think if that's the if that's what we think it is, then I think the conflict. Like, I think we need to have a moment where Mia gets what she wanted, and it's not all it's cracked up to
be. 100% does. She goes on the date with Brink.
I don't get the sense that she ever like. I don't know. There's not a clear rejection of. I want to be popular. Being popular actually sucks.
No, I totally think because there is. I disagree.
To me, the rejection is paparazzi makes being popular suck.
No, I don't think it's popularity is her goal. I think it's dating the dude who is popular is her goal. Hmm. And when she goes on that date and realizes that it's not the paparazzi. The paparazzi doesn't make him take advantage of the fact that the paparazzi's there. He is the type
That's
of
true.
Person that takes advantage of the fact that the paparazzi's there. And so
I think before we get too far away from the conversation on like self-love, I think that's always an ingredient to some extent in a romantic comedy is like realizing your worth.
Totally.
And that you're enough. You know, we've got the widower, Tom Hanks that has to decide like, actually I can date again. That we see that kind of stuff all the time.
Yeah.
But you're right. This, it does seem, I mean, if you're just talking about literal screen time, it just seems like Mia and herself. And I do like the uniqueness of that.
Yeah. And
in this situation,
I think that's what I mean. I do think there's an element of that in most romance movies, but I just think it is more of a focal point here than any of the other ones. You know,
it's interesting. And it's, I guess it's hard for me to look at it with those goggles on because I don't view this as like a rom-com or a romance movie really even.
Yeah. I don't,
it's more similar to Mean Girls, like a coming of age thing to me.
Yeah. It's a movie with romance in it. Certainly. But yeah, I don't know that I would classify it necessarily as a rom-com, which Summer of Love historically is not strictly rom-coms.
Well,
sure.
And fortunately, it feels like this year's series kind of stays in this vein.
Totally.
Yeah.
A little bit. And so we're going to get three that are this way, and it'll be fun to kind of try and find some comparable elements there. But yeah, I think that's a valid, going back to your pump too, I think that's valid.
With all the characters?
Across the board.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they're just really fun. They're my favorite part, easily. Hence the super pump.
I think, yeah, I wouldn't say like they're a great part too, but I think the only thing I disagree with you is I think you had said like lives and dies by the side characters. Then you eliminate really strong pieces, which were Julie Andrews and
that's a,
Anne
that's
Hathaway.
A great
I
point.
Loved.
That's a great point.
I loved their relationship so
that's a
much.
Great point.
And there's something about her like that and that feels royal. What a perfect
Dude,
person
yeah. so,
to,
hold,
to play this
hold
role.
Hold on to that thought. Because it's time for us to go to shout announcements. And I'd love to just take the back half of this episode and talk about Julie Andrews just
yeah,
for the rest 100%. Of the show.
yeah.
Dame Julie
I'm
Andrews.
Sorry, Dame.
This is a Christian podcast. Please say dang Julie Andrews.
That darn Julie Andrews.
It's shout announcements time. Shout announcements, the land I call my home. That's all I got, but that's what I remember of the Genovian national anthem. Welcome to Shout Announcements.
It's the Shades of Canada. Oh, yeah. Canada. Oh, Genovia.
Hey, actually, the Genovian national anthem is the thing that makes me never fully remember the Canadian national anthem. So that's pretty funny.
I bet you're not
alone.
They
get run into each other in my brain all the time.
All those frequent times I try to sing Canada's favorite song. Hey, I just can't do it.
Hey, we lived with a young man from the Great White North for many years, and I, pardon me for trying to love him well, Doge.
I'm third gen from the Great White North.
Okay.
I've got the blood of the first men in
my
veins.
Don't act like that's the same thing.
The blood of the first men. Lord.
Hey, we here at Two Chunks and a Hunk have something special for you. Picture me pointing straight at your face. For you. And it's our Patreon. On our Patreon, we have special episodes about movies that only the patrons get. Sometimes we play some special games. You get access to patron-only website pages with data and numbers and things like that. Specifically, things about games and how to play them or certain other elements. And it's a ton of extra bonus content just for you. And I know that in your heart and soul, you're thinking, wow, billions, maybe trillions of dollars must this cost? No, it's three. It's three U.S. American dollars per month forever in perpetuity. That's all we ask. That's all we need for you to get that sweet, sweet bonus content.
Another sweet thing. Well, that was the perfect transition. I alleyed it and then I couldn't oop it.
You oopsed. You know that, it.
It was an alley oops. You know that feeling of when Mia is when everybody's like, "Hey, Mia, guess what? You're a princess." And then how she's like, "Shut up."
Don't we all?
That's how you feel. That's how you feel right
Golly
now.
Golly Wally.
That's how you feel right now when you remember that we have merch. We got t-shirts. We got cups with our faces on them, which if you're playing along at home, those are mugs. We've also got stickers, mm-hmm. and I'm pretty sure you can buy some masks
there
to protect you
masks.
And your loved ones. Your face can have our face on it. And usually that's a privilege reserved only for our wives.
Is it time for my announcement? Can I say mine to get us out of here?
The only other thing is follow us on social media. You know how to do that.
Please make sure to follow us on social media. Guys, we've got a special surprise for you coming this Wednesday, and not the kind that a newborn baby gives you, okay? The kind.
Oh, we do have a baby onesie in case you have one of those.
We do have a baby onesie. Thanks for catching that. So on Wednesday, you've heard of Mini Monday. You've heard of Two Chunks Tuesday. Well, this coming Wednesday, meaning tomorrow, we have for you a, thank you, Doge, for the name, a Widow Wednesday. This phenomenal thing happened that is not completely new to the hosts of this show. This is actually the highlights of most of our friendships are just having these epiphanies about things and talking about them for hours. We have about 15 or 20 minutes for you, but our Widow Wednesday, we kind of discovered that, thanks again, shout out to Tyler, Tyler Grayson Ellis on Instagram for doing the commissions for us, for doing those awesome, awesome drawings of us as our favorite movie characters. We started to talk about that and we started to talk about the Enneagram and kind of found out, maybe there's more to us picking our favorite movie characters than we might have previously thought. And so Jordan was so wise as to say, stop, we need to record all of this. And it feels like gold enough content that we're going to give it to you tomorrow. And so we hope that you enjoy Widow Wednesday, perhaps the only Widow Wednesday. It's something like Halley's Comet, really. You only get a Widow Wednesday every 80, 86 years or so. So this could be your only shot.
We'll be centenarians the next time we release a Widow Wednesday. And I can't wait to hear what a couple hundred-year-old dude's podcast about.
Yes. Yes. So give that a check. It'll happen. It'll show up. If you've subscribed already, it'll already be there. If you haven't, please do.
It's 9 o'clock on a Saturday. Morpheus shuffles in and he speaks to me of another world, offers pills that let me go in.
One more verse.
He says, son, can you save our humanity? I said, I'm not really sure how that goes. He says, neither are we, but plug in and we'll see. And don't forget to wear these cool clothes.
Thank you for the inspiration, Doge.
What you don't know is that every time the camera wasn't pointed at him, Joe was singing that.
That's what it's it amazing. Was.
You know, a lot of people have been asking if we're back from shout announcements. I'm thinking we're back.
I'm thinking we're back.
Oh, such a good energy. Summer of Love always it does this to us.
It really does.
I think I've realized that we need it. We need we Summer of Love.
We definitely do.
It's that little...
We definitely
it's the,
do.
It's the arrows that Sonic the Hedgehog runs over on the ground that just boosts him right back up.
Yep.
That's exactly what Summer of Love is for us. After we stumbled and lost all of our rings in Blockbusted.
Oh my gosh.
We can now finish. Black, the level.
Watching those movies felt exactly like falling into water as an unswimmable hedgehog.
Hey, he can swim.
He drowns in the water.
Not in the water levels.
But in the non-water levels.
I don't remember there being water
yeah,
levels.
Yeah, he goes under.
Y'all were really good at that. I never got that far.
I just know Green Hill Zone. That's a
the first
that's a
level.
Nerd burn. In case
yeah, that's
curious.
A joke for 10
got
of you.
Dunking all over Carter here. Hey, it's time that we talk about the illustrious, the timeless, the graceful, darn Julie Andrews.
You know what? We talked about a Disney Mount Rushmore months ago.
Yeah.
How dare
part
we?
Part of me is
how
like,
dare we?
How is, part how of me is Queen like, Julie not on there?
Right? Like, and again, this isn't even like her highlight of her Disney career.
For you,
but,
maybe.
I mean, Mary Poppins, isn't Sound of Music Disney?
Sounds right.
I don't think it is.
It's not.
I think
okay,
it's MGM.
Okay. Oh,
which
but
I guess
it doesn't
is
matter.
Disney now.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean,
guess
if it's
it
not
is.
Disney, at some point it will
it's gonna be.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, she's so perfect for
so
this.
So do me a favor. Name. Let's name three other actors of any time period who more easily or equally easily translate to royalty.
That easily translate
that
to royalty?
Equally translate to royalty just like that. I mean, you see them as like, yeah.
Judy Dench.
I was going to say Judy
Dench.
Yeah,
Dame sorry, Judy
darn,
Dench for sure.
Darn Judy Dench.
Darn Judy Dench.
Sorry, darn Judy Dench.
Darn Kate Blanchett.
Yeah, I would say she's played the queen twice and was nominated
totally.
Times.
She's Galadriel. Come
my
on.
My pushback is Kate Blanchett's got some menace to her.
Well, as most
I
queens
think queens
do.
Should. Okay. She's
what kind of royalty are you looking for here?
Valid.
I need to do one more, and this would be a perfect slam dunk.
Helen Mirren.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think that's valid. I was also going to say, oh my gosh, why am I blanking on his name? Colin Firth.
Right.
I
King's
think
Speech.
That he is like so easily believable as a royal.
I don't know. I think he was so easily believable as that quirky character.
Yes.
Which is so different from other royals
that's
that
valid.
We see.
That's a good point.
I mean, if we're looking at casting some men in this role too, we've obviously got folks like Ian McKellen. We've obviously got folks like Patrick Stewart.
I don't think either of them seems
think
royal
of,
to me. They both have a little grunge.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm serious. I'm completely serious.
You're kidding me right now. They won't play a modern king, but if they played the king in Beowulf, you're telling me you'd be like, there's no way that guy's king.
No, I'm not saying there's no way. I'm talking about the way that the people we've mentioned just so easily slot into royalty and it's just perfect.
Can you put Hopkins in there?
Yeah.
I would put Hopkins
in
there.
I think I can put there.
Hopkins
there.
Okay.
How Thank are you, you. Going to put Hopkins in there and not put the other two perfect thirds of our British grandfathers?
Look, we're not arguing the patronly elements of these men. I'm just saying Hopkins slides into king easier than McKellen does, in my opinion.
Man, this ended up being a little more spicy than we thought.
You're just, your opinion is just
in an episode
wrong.
That started by talking about hot sauce. it seems to be the
theme. Do
you
ever forget that you did something? Something reminds you of it, and you get excited all over again. That's what just happened with that hot sauce. You mentioned
you
the hot
ordered
sauce
that hot sauce.
I got real stoked about it.
Yes.
I'm sure that's how everyone listening would feel if we mentioned this movie again.
Julie Andrews is perfect as Clarice.
Yeah, she's real good.
She is.
Yeah, truly.
Tell me, Clarice. As your granddaughter stopped screaming.
Thank you for being here today. I want... There's something about her as like a grandmother and a queen, where she just fits both roles so well here.
Yeah.
Like I think that she is like intimidating when she comes down those stairs, because there is something super like royal and regal about her.
It's funny. Yeah. We talk about her slotting into being able to play a royal. It's almost like the way people act to her as Queen of Genovia feels the kind of reverence people would just give Julie right. Andrews.
Exactly. Like, totally. I feel like she just showed up and was like, I'm Julie Andrews and I'm going to be playing myself.
Posture, right. Yes, my posture. I'm all of a sudden thinking about my posture.
Right.
I'm like ready to bow. I mean, it doesn't feel completely inappropriate to bow if I ever, you know, met her.
Yep.
But yeah, I love, so the relationship she has with Joe too, that wasn't right. written.
Really?
It wasn't a part of the book. This is based on a book that wasn't written, but those two actors thought it was just kind of happening organically, that there was a lot of interest there. And so we get some fun stuff too, that the more that she begins to fall in love with Joe, the more colors she's wearing. He mentions that, you know, black doesn't yeah. suit you. And that's because for the last year or so, she's been mourning the death of her yeah. husband. And so we kind of get to see, you know, we talk about the romance elements. This probably was my favorite, and it wasn't even supposed yeah. to be there.
I like how I really did enjoy that. That it's just in the background.
I was yeah. reading that they and had so, said that showing love like over 50 seemed super valuable to
yeah.
them.
Yeah. Hmm. I think when you have, there's several movie scenarios and narratives in which we have a child that has competing parentage. Like we have either if it's a mentor trying to take over the role and take the place of the actual like paternal or, yeah. or maternal, like by blood. But in this one, it's not a competition to me. It's like, I am happy for everyone who's willing to raise Mia. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause it's like, I actually like her mom.
Oh yeah. Her mom is great.
It's
I
not
like her
old mom Yeller. It's not choose the kid or the clown.
Yeah.
Sorry. That's
yeah.
Air Bud. That's
Air Bud for sure.
No, it's old Yeller.
Is the clown rabies?
Yes. And we all know Air Bud made the wrong choice.
He should have gone with the clown.
He should have
gone with rabies.
He should have not gone with the clown, because the clown is rabies. He should have chose the kid.
He does choose the kid.
But he chose the clown. He chose the clown. Are we talking? We're talking about old Yeller.
We're talking about
old Yeller dies. Air Bud. Old Yeller dies of getting shot because
this
of rabies.
Amazing. Yeah, no, that's true.
Old Yeller made
this
the wrong
is gonna
choice.
Be,
we're going to get our podcast
this will be,
Old Yeller in yeah, this yeah. episode.
So, like, let's take a quick break. So we're Two Chunks LLC now, and I've been trying to think tank options for us to do other things as a business. There's going to be a published commentary, written commentary on this episode. There is just too much in this episode. I can see that on the shelves.
Stay tuned for the Two Chunks and a Hunk Snyder cut. It's coming soon to a podcast near
Dude,
you.
Dude, yes. Did you guys see that David Ayer's like, yeah, and my Suicide Squad too. Also.
Gosh, shut up, dude.
Did you guys see that Robert Zemeckis is like, stay tuned for the Zemeckis cut of Mars Needs Moms? It fixes everything that was wrong with it. Did you like, was there a part you liked? There's way more of that.
And the Wachowskis are like, nah, Jupiter Ascending was exactly what we tried to do.
Jupiter Ascending was our masterpiece.
No, it's perfect.
And James Cameron goes, what, we're doing director's cut? I have a 24-hour version of Avatar.
I have a Titanic that's just the cruise. Just go on the cruise. I'm directing a new Titanic cruise.
It's the Titanic Gilligan's Island mashup we've all been dying for.
Oh my
gosh. Just
sit
back and you hear the tale of a fateful trip.
The tale
trip.
Of a big bad boat.
big bad boat.
This is, so Summer of Love allows us to do something, which is just kind of pinball off of whatever happens. And it's not an energy we get to find very frequently, because I don't think that it's often where we're like, and inside out, like the emotional turmoil that comes up, just sit right back and we'll hear. Like, it's hard to make those yeah. leaps. But here, I just feel so free, like the chains are off. And I can just kind of go
yeah.
wherever. And where I'd like to go right now is to Mia and her grandmother's day off in San Francisco.
Super pump.
Oh, hit me.
I love the relationship between Anne Hathaway and Julie Andrews. Because, and this is probably me filling in the gaps with my brain, but there's, to me, there's this thing of the Queen of Genovia, one of the most respected international figures, is teaching an up-and-comer how to become a respected international figure. And yeah. I also get the sense that there's a little bit of Julie Andrews, one of the most respected actresses of all time, enjoying sharing scenes with Anne Hathaway, who's a young up-and-coming actress, hasn't done much. But to me, it feel their relationship feels very metatextual,
totally,
which I really, really love. It's just, it's really wholesome and really pure.
I love it. And I'll super dump, or sorry. It's like, I will piggyback super pump on not the exact thing, but very similar. But again, it's based on a book, but I do like the writing. I like the screenplay. Yeah. I think this is a fun, semi-believable scenario, which sounds weird, but there's enough random still monarchy countries out there that are very small that we've never heard of. And yes, Genovia is fictional, but it doesn't seem completely out of context that something like this might actually happen. And I think that's part of what brings the charm of it too, we're not going to get that with Princess Bride next week, but, part of the charm of this is like, I think, especially as, you know, my wife being younger, being like, you know what? What if there is that grandma I haven't heard from in a long time? Yep. You know, it's and I love that about it. And it makes it kind of magically applicable. Sure. I don't know.
I think there is some, this is going to sound like a joke. It's not a joke. There is something so fun about Julie Andrews herself and the queen eating that corn dog. Like, if you told me, hey, here's Julie Andrews, pick a food that she should never touch.
Corn dog
is the answer.
I can think of no food that is more the anti-Julie Andrews than a corn dog.
And doesn't that make it great?
But didn't...
like
it made me hungry for a corn dog.
Oh, I wanted a corn dog so bad.
I was going to say, didn't it look so good?
It's that mustard. It wasn't straight up yellow mustard.
Would you guys put any of our aardvark hot sauce on that corn dog?
Ooh, I think
so. Yeah, dude.
I think I would try that.
Even though that doesn't feel like a relationship that needs to be tampered with.
We're talking about corn dogs and armadillo sauce or corn dogs and Julie Andrews?
No, corn dogs and
yellow mustard.
And neither. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd still mess with it.
Even though, but I'd give it a shot.
I think I would too. But yeah, this whole scene is, it's just so fun, I think. And the the trolley drivers and the
Order of the Rose,
you know, and it's just funny.
Yeah.
And
the way Julie Andrews reacts to Mia giving her a high five, or the queen reacts, is exactly how I expect Julie Andrews to react if I say, Julie Andrews, high five. And she goes, what? Oh, and then remembers that high five is something that peasants do.
Okay.
Yep. I see it.
So I haven't super dumped yet, and I'd like to. Can I?
Yeah.
Thank you for the permission. My super dump is that Lily is a terrible friend.
Yep.
And I don't know if we're supposed to like her or not, to be honest
Lily
with you.
Lily sucks big time.
Right. I mean, are we supposed to see? And I wanted to really bad because I want to like empathetically get to know these characters. But like, are we supposed to see something that we like we learn about ourselves? It's like, I don't know, in weakness, if I thought I was losing my best friend, I've been known to be kind of mean
before.
She
feels like a worse Janice from Mean Girls.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. It's just... it's tough. Like, it is too much. It's so much.
I appreciate the coming forth with the confession and apology of like, I was scared that I was losing you and like, I was jealous, you know, and I can appreciate that, but it feels too little too late at that point in the movie. Like
big time.
Her whole thing is like, you're being mean. You're being mean. You're a princess. Come on my show so I can get something out of it. You know,
I don't know.
It's just weird, man. My super dump was almost going to be M&M's on pizza, but then I thought about it and I would try it. So
no way. Oh, absolutely not.
Yeah. That's a weird enough thing though, to be kind of charming.
Totally. When I think of playing,
that's
M&M,
like a rom-coms. It's like
keyboard
a
with the M&M's on it. It's like iconic about this movie to me.
Yeah. It's like a rom-com version of like what the Coen brothers and Tarantino try and do in their movies. Let me do something so out there that people this will remember is, it. It makes zero sense. This is the wood chopper.
This is Princess Diaries POV shot from inside the trunk of a car.
Right. Yes. Absolutely.
It is offensive, but I would try it is what I'm saying. But yeah, Lily as a friend is my super dump because I think we were supposed to be like mourning the loss of that friendship for Mia. But all I could think is like, good, move on.
She's better off.
You're going to get better friends later.
Yeah. Like Julie Andrews. Right. Like,
That's true. I would trade 100 Lilies for one Julie Andrews.
Well, because we're getting that relationship like minutes from the other, like it feels like this was edited to where we get both of these things back to back often, and it makes Lily look even worse.
Yeah.
And it maybe it is the assumption that we think Julie Andrews is going to be. And again, this is that thing that happens with movies we see after the fact. Meryl Streep, like, because I already get to put Anne Hathaway in some of her right. other roles. And I'm like, are you, because Meryl Streep kind of plays the role of I'm going to transform this person into who they need to be.
Yeah.
Except it's awful. Like, she's referred to as the devil. And so it's like, I don't know. I think that's what you expect with Julie Andrews. And you don't really get that at all. She's not completely rude right. to her. She's like, seems thoughtfully wants her to be a member of right. her family. And it works.
I do love the moment that Joe kind of takes her to task a little bit just over like, I don't think you treated her unfairly as a queen, but I do think you treated her unfairly as a grandmother. Like, you're still great her line, grandma. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's great. Joe's a great character in general. Billy Joe Neo is a great character.
There
in
it general. Is.
Nijo.
Never going to forget this day. Never going to forget this day.
But and I think the ending, like everything that we get at the end with the ball and the dancing and the speech that she gives and Michael shows up with his hair pushed off his dang forehead finally made me feel like a dad. He looked way better with his hair back.
That's his makeover. You didn't see it, yeah. but Paolo got a hold of him a little bit.
The cucumbers, they do nothing. Yeah.
The accent work in this movie is atrocious.
Horrible. Horrible.
Some of it's...
But it's very fun.
Yeah, I don't... That dinner table...
Oh, my
I didn't
gosh.
Know where people were
from. Dinner table is the worst.
I guess that's okay. I don't know.
Has she never had ice cream before? Does she not know what ice cream is? Is it...
Is that ice cream?
Is well, it this, especially cold?
Is it ice cream?
Yeah, it's definitely ice cream. It's like gelato.
I thought it was
something.
some sort of like pistachio gelato for like palate cleansing.
Okay. Has she never had gelato
that's
before?
That's weird enough... I mean, maybe not. That's weird enough that a 15-year-old might be like, what's gelato? I bet it's hot because it sounds like jihado.
Yeah.
No.
Doge.
I know. I'm not giving that a pass.
I want to, but I'm not either.
Yeah. So do y'all have anything else that you want to hit real quick before we rate this movie?
No, we've all pumped and dumped. Yeah.
Okay. Well, then it is time Great. To rate this movie using science that Mia probably learned at her private high school in San Francisco. The scientific cinema scale is perfect, and it is as follows. The best thing we could ever say about a movie is own it, don't lend it.
Buy that poster.
The next best thing is buy it, followed by rent it, and then stream it. After that is forget it. And last, but certainly least, the worst thing we could ever say about a movie.
God hath forsaken us. I'll go.
Okay.
Rent this one. It's really fun, and I really, really enjoy it. This is to me, this movie is perhaps emblematic of how I feel every time we go into Summer of Love. I'm not going to be blown away by anything that we watch, but I'm going to have a really good time watching
totally.
It.
Totally.
Right.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it's a good movie. I think it's still a rent for me. I think there was a window to where it could have been more influential. You know, we have talked about that before, and,
sure.
and Jordan has even alluded to that with this one. I think with enough watches and for it to be the kind of thing that I could just quote it all, like obviously that's going to be higher for me. And this has all the makings of that, and it's got all the ingredients to be that kind of movie. But for me personally, it is a rent. I would watch it again for sure. Like it's incredibly enjoyable, but it's not way up there even in this genre for me. So
yeah, that's fair. I'm also renting this movie. I love it, but I acknowledge that it is what it is, and it's a definite rental for me. Once every couple years, bust it out, love it, put it back away, don't think about it for a little bit. But yeah, I just think it's fun. It's like,
would you say you put it in your pocket
yeah,
and save it for
save
a rainy
for
day?
Any kind of day. Yeah, I think it's there's something like harmless about it in a fun way that makes it easy to watch without any concern for what it's going to do to me. Like, and it's so I've watched it so much it feels familiar and really like safe to watch. I really enjoy this movie a
yeah.
lot.
Yeah.
Speaking of movies we enjoy, don't forget that we are going to be watching and talking about The Princess Bride. Maybe one of the Carter brought this up. I think it's a great point. Maybe one of the most quoted but least often like discussed movies.
Yeah.
You know, people quote it and say how much they love it, but I don't know that I've ever really thought about it with a critical eye ever. And so I'm very interested to watch this. I'm very excited about this one. I think it's going to be a blast.
If you're thinking to yourself, 2 weeks is just not enough time to spend in the land of love with my three pod boys, we've got great news for you. We have a special Patreon episode dedicated to this series where we're going to be reviewing Enchanted. And there is a particularly enchanting element that will be part of that review. Are we clear to say that now? Have we talked to the boys at Legal where we can say that now?
I think so. And we have confirmation. Yeah.
We're going to be joined by our wives for that episode. So it will be six voices coming at you instead of just three.
Love it. Love it. I'm pumped for it.
And as always, you can be a patron for $3 a month and
forever.
Take a listen to that forever. What? Yeah. No, it's $3 each month.
Forever.
Each month. And you can listen to that episode as well as several other bonus episodes. We got things like Cats up there, which was an unimaginable horror to sit through. We got things like Parasite, which was pretty much the exact opposite experience of Cats, and a lot of other fun movies too.
Parasite is sort of the anti-Cats. I've been saying that for a while. I don't think enough people are talking about that.
All movies fit into one of two categories. They're either as good as Parasite or as bad as Cats.
That's true. That is sort of the spectrum that things seem to be operating.
That's it now. That's the one.
So to end today's episode, I would like for each of us to say our name and sing a snippet of the national anthem from the country we would have made up in this movie.
Okay.
For Two Chunks and a Hunk, I'm Jordan Wonders, and I think it would go a little something. Sandwich Town. I'm going home to go to Sandwich Town. I'm putting pickles on bread with cheese and some mustard too.
Yep.
Ba-doo-doo-doo. That's great. So that's sort of mine.
I'm Doge, and it would go exactly like this. Life is like an aeroplane here in Dozierburg. And that's it.
Dozierburg.
Oh, that's DuckTales.
And mine would go like this. Oh, Canada, our home and native land. Something like that.
I love that totally fictional country that you made up. What's it called?
Home and native land?
Canada with a K.
Home and Canada. Home. Oh, man. They buy donuts from Tom Norton's.
Get out.
Their chief Get expert out. Is maple sclera.
Saving money on everything now at Menards. Create fresher, cleaner air with damp-rid products. Control the humidity in your space with a hanging bag moisture absorber. They're great for closets and laundry rooms. Grab a 3-pack on sale through September 8th. Save big on damp-rid moisture absorbers at Menards. America's number one home improvement retailer for customer satisfaction according to J.D. Power. Visit jdpower.com for details and menards.com for deals. Save.